Welcome back to the Get Jesus podcast. I hope you're having a great day. My name's Emmett, and Christian Conversation Starters. It's an instant idea, and I'm going to give it a shot. And, you know, so I found some, and I took a screenshot of them, and that's what we're going to be doing today. We're just going to be reading through and answering, kind of going in depth, and then at home, you can be thinking about maybe your answer to the question, or my answer isn't your answer, and so I shouldn't be speaking for you, but I'm speaking for myself, and I'm speaking to maybe try my hardest to educate or anything like that. Let's find it. There they are. All right. Why do you believe what you believe? This is a tough one for me because I got challenged by someone about this very same thing, and it was like, how do you know it's God? Why do you believe what you believe? And I believe what I believe is because throughout my life, it was bumpy, a little bit bumpy, and then just took a dip. And the only way I got out of that is when I started following Jesus. And I don't believe that I would have gotten out of that without the grace of God and following Jesus and learning the morals and different things like reading scripture, praying, all these different things. I don't believe that I would have gotten out of that without those things. And so that's why I believe what I believe is because I was in this pit and Jesus brought me back up. It correlated when I started following Jesus. So that is why I believe what I believe. What makes someone a Christian? When you commit your life to Jesus. That is the simplest answer. And while I think that you're a Christian, even if you sin endlessly, I think you're still a Christian. Where I have a problem with, and it's a big problem, and I think I should probably question and challenge myself on it, have someone challenge me on it, is because when you're representing Christianity, when you walk around and you're saying, I'm Christian, I'm Christian, I'm Christian, I'm Christian, then you're walking around here, and you just, you know, sinning, not doing what God might want you to be doing, walking around here foul mouth, like, you know, always cussing. That's where I have a problem with it, because you're not representing God. Like, not that cussing, I don't think cussing is a bad sin, or even if it is a sin, I'm not sure. But I think that if that's how you're going to represent God constantly, and you're also going to represent that with a poor attitude or not having the joy of the Lord, like, I don't know how much you can really truly be representing God. And someone needs to challenge me on that, because it's very judgmental of me to think like that, especially because I represented that like that at one point in my life. And so I really need to be challenged to that. But that's what I think is, like, if you have accepted Christ into your life, then you are, a Christian. And another thing is, like, if you were born and raised in the church, your family believes and you always go to church, like, are you truly a Christian? You've been born and raised. Have you really ever questioned it? I tell all the time people who believe in Jesus because their parents believe in Jesus, like, question it. I believe in Jesus, and if you question it in the right way, you will come back to Jesus. But you should deconstruct. You should go through that, because you don't know whether or not that's actually what you believe. And you should do that. Like, oh, I believe in a God. Well, do you believe in Jesus? Because you could believe in God without having to believe in Jesus. You know, people believe in all sorts of gods. You would have a million gods because you believe in God. And that's not the case. And so there's different levels of, like, are you a Christian or are you not a Christian? That's my answer to that question. Number three, do you think it's okay to question what you believe? Yes, I do. I think that it's valuable to believe something, question it. Where you go wrong is, check out the deconstruction episode. I don't know how well of a good job I did on it. But I can go in more depth is when you are deconstructing something, right? So let's say, for example, what's a good example? Okay, let's just take cussing. You think that cussing is innocent. You sit down and have a conversation with someone, and they're like, I've never cussed in my life. I hate cussing. Cussing is so much of a sin. And you get up from that conversation, and you're like, I'm never cussing again. Cussing is so bad, such sinful, so sinful. And then you start to, like, break that down. Like, I switched my views from this to that very quickly. That is not healthy. And I would argue that if you believed that cussing isn't a sin, you are still valid to think that. And you shouldn't be switching your views just because you sat down on the couch with someone. Because it happened to me. Not about cussing, but about other things. And so I had to deconstruct that even further. I had to say, well, what do I really believe? Because I can't believe what he believes. Because we're different people, we interpret different things. There's a difference between our values, and we're reading the same thing in scripture, and God's giving us a different message, or whatever it is. And so, it happens a lot, and you need to deconstruct that. So yes, you need to question what you believe. Where you go wrong is you question what you believe out of any sense. Cussing isn't a sin. Cussing is such a hard sin. Cussing is a sin. Is Jesus real? That's where you go wrong. You throw the baby out with the bathwater. If the bathwater gets dirty, you pick the baby up out of the bathwater. You clean the bathtub. You fill it back up. And then you put it back in. Now you have clean water. You don't flush the baby down the drain with the bathwater. You purify the water and you lift up the baby. So you lift up Jesus. You still believe in Jesus. The bathwater is cussing, sinning. For a lot of people, it's the church. The bathwater is the church. The church is getting dirty and not following scripture, doing these certain things. And you lift Jesus out of this equation and you clean out the church and you question the church by throwing it out and filling it back up. And now you can lift Jesus back in there and you have back to normal with purified bathwater. So don't throw away Jesus just because Jesus' followers are not following Jesus maybe as close as you think they should. And another thing is, like, right, in history, we see Christians doing horrible things. You know, the colonizers were Christians. They colonized America. Mass murder against the Native Americans. Like, yeah. They were Christian. What are you trying to say about my personal beliefs? Because someone's beliefs back then, thinking that it's okay to mass murder people because of your beliefs, in my eyes, are false. Because it specifically says in scripture, don't murder anyone. But that's not going to affect my personal relationship with God. It's plain and simple. I'm not going to let it affect my personal faith. Because faith is personal. It's not a group. So Christians shouldn't be represented. Christians shouldn't have their faith represented by one event or Christians in history. It's how you personalize your faith and you in the eyes of God. What do you think our culture thinks of Christians. Do you agree with that perspective? The culture thinks that Christians walk around here, LGBTQ, go away. What else? Lust, go away. Any type of thing. Get out of here. Get out of here. And I have to agree with the culture. Based on the fact, I try my hardest not to push those people away, especially because I don't think that, like, if you're LGBTQ, that doesn't, Jesus would break bread with you. Plain and simple. Jesus would sit down with you and break bread. So just because this is looked at as a sin, Jesus is going to break bread with you. So why can't I? Because I'm trying to be like Jesus. And so the culture says, Christians push away these people. Christians are horrible people because they push away. And unfortunately, we do that. We do indeed. Like, I try my hardest not to, and I don't think I do. Push away those type of people. And so, you have to accept them based on the fact that, again, faith is personal. And they will be convicted of sin if they're sinning. And they will convert. And they will go traditional. Or they will change and be given the strength. That's between them and Jesus. You have no right to say, get away from here, you sinner. That's what the Pharisees did. The Pharisees shooed them away. Get away from me. You're a sinner. I'm not breaking bread with you. And Jesus, our Savior, the Savior that we trust and that saved us by grace, would sit down with these people and break bread with them. The Almighty Powerful One who walked this earth that we read in the scripture in 4 different books of the Bible and is referenced in almost every single book of the Bible, if not all books of the Bible, would have sat down with these people. We are turning people away from Christianity just because of differences that we think. Don't shoo them away. But we do. So I have to agree with the culture until we can deconstruct it, all of us, and find out what we can do to help these people have a relationship with Jesus, because they deserve it. Everyone deserves a relationship with the Savior. Especially if they're sinning. Especially if they're sinning. Why does God let bad things happen? I don't have an answer to this one. I haven't truly thought about it. But I think the best answer I can give is all throughout my life, my mom would say, everything happens for a reason. And do I believe that? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. There is no way that I am not going to believe that. And so, everything happens for a reason. Whether someone dies in your family, what that means. Like, on Christmas Day, Christmas is supposed to be all about Jesus, right? But a lot of the times, especially in our world now, we make it into something else. And I think I was struggling with making it into something else and having those gifts and different things, and I was celebrating that, and I wasn't truly celebrating Jesus. Well, my grandpa ended up going to the hospital on Christmas, and he was there for 4 days. So Christmas Day, I'm like, I gotta start praying. I gotta be praying because my grandpa's in the hospital. And so, how that works, well, you know, everything happens for a reason. So, through that, God showed me that my grandpa is very religious, very on fire for the Lord. And so, when he's in the hospital, automatically we're sitting there and we're like, God, you know what I mean? Jesus. Because this man is on fire for the Lord. He walks around on Saturdays doing ministry, and he comes home and he always tells me, he's like, yeah, just every time I'm down here on earth, I'm just making lumber for up there, you know, building my house up there. This man never stops talking about Jesus. Like, he'll talk to you about sports and somehow, some way, find a way to fit Jesus in there. Like, this man can't stop talking about Jesus, and it's amazing to see. And so when you're on Christmas Day and you're having trouble, like, fitting Jesus in there because you're struggling with worldliness. Like, that's what it is. It's worldliness. And Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to the ways of this world and be renewed by renewing your mind. Like, it's worldliness. We all struggle with it. We all can't follow Romans 12:2. We all can't do it. We're not perfect. And so we can try our hardest. And so that is what I would say is the reason for God letting bad things happen, is to shift us. Because if something hurts you, you need healing. God. And so, like, if you want to go to death, we'll go to death and say, you're going to heaven. If you've accepted Jesus into your life, you go into heaven. And so, God lets bad things happen to you. In the case of death, I'm sorry. I don't want to ever go there. As far as the topic of death, because everyone's scared of death. I mean, I'm 14 years old. I got a life to live. I don't want to talk about death. But if we're talking about death, and you've committed your life to Jesus, you're going to heaven. So God's okay with saying, yeah, if that's his will, he's going to heaven. Doesn't matter when he dies. He's eternal for life up here in this party, man. So I would say that's why God lets bad things happen, is because we grow closer to him in a spiritual way. And if it's a bad thing happening with our own death, we grow towards him in a spiritual and physical way, because now we're there with him. Up in the sky with him. In his house. In the mansion. Millions of rooms. What does it mean? What does it mean to have a relationship with God? Well, I think it's up for personal interpretation. Like I said, it's your own personal faith. And so, personal faith, I would say, personal relationship with God. Personal relationship with God. Personal faith, it's up to your interpretation. However you want to interpret it. However a relationship with God functions with you. And for me, it's the four. Bible, prayer, or no, it's five. Bible, prayer, worship, ministry, and fellowship. And they're all equal, but I value worship, fellowship a lot. And I should value Bible and prayer a lot as well, but fellowship and worship are very important to me. And so I think that it's up to your own interpretation. If fellowship is what happens for you, then like, if you feel like you're closer with God through ministry, that's how you're going to exercise your personal relationship with God. If you feel like you're closest with God when you're reading the Bible, then you're going to exercise that. If you feel like you're closest with, because when I feel I'm closest with God is when I do a devotional daily, which I have to do today for today and yesterday because I missed yesterday. I don't know what I was doing. For me, it's doing a devotional and praying and worshiping and fellowshipping. And so that means that I'm waking up and worshiping. I take a shower. I wake up at 5, I take a shower, and I turn on worship music. And so that's my worship. And then Sunday worship. Fellowship, I go to youth group. I run a small group. I talk to friends daily at school about God. I talk to my mom daily about God. So that's fellowship. What did I say? Worship, fellowship, devotionals. Yeah. And then I have my devotionals too. And so that's my relationship with God. But yours could look different. I'm not saying that your relationship with God has to be devotional, worship in the shower, and fellowship. Yours, if you feel closest with God when reading the Bible, actively, I highly encourage you to go out and read the Bible actively. And so, it's up for grabs what you want to do with your personal relationship with God. And that's all I would say. Are there any questions that you struggle to answer about Christianity? All right, let's go one by, here, I'm going to look up, common reasons that people don't follow Christianity, or I'm just going to say Christ. Common reasons people don't follow Christ. Evil. Evil. If God exists, why does evil exist? Because Adam and Eve chose to eat from the apple. There are necessary evils. We have to be tested by God. So I don't struggle to answer the question of why does evil exist. Pain. We already went over why God lets bad things happen. I don't struggle with answering that question. Injustice. That's people, man. God is the only judge. But we're out here. Hold up, I just got a text from my best friend. Okay, injustice. God is the only judge, and we're out here in courthouses with a judge. Injustice is not God's fault. So no, I don't. If you could sit face to face with God and ask him one question, what would it be? No, I wouldn't ask him a question. God made the world perfect. He created the world perfect. He created a perfect world, and he created perfect humans. And we've been corrupted by sin and evil and death and all these different things. We've been corrupted by that. That isn't God's doing. And so, I don't have any questions. Because he made a perfect world. Like, when you sit down with someone and you ask them a question, you're wondering something. Well, God's laid it out for all of us. And there's no reason that we shouldn't believe. And if you're going to ask him why, you know, a flaw, there's no flaws. I wouldn't ask him. I don't have a question to ask him. What does it mean to worship God? Do you think it's important? Yes, I do think it's important. What does it mean to worship God? What is important? I answer, it's important. What is important? Well, worshiping God can also take a lot of different ways. And it's again, a personal faith thing. Worshiping God could be fasting, giving up something. It doesn't even have to be a sin, right? If you really enjoy music, you're not sinning by listening to music, even if it's secular. I listen to secular music all the time. I'm going to be honest with you. I listen to predominantly secular music. Secular music is, it's good music. I don't know what you want me to say. I don't strictly listen to worship music. And I don't think that I should be. I listen to a lot of worship music. I listen to a lot of Christian artists. I listen to, you know, a lot of songs with godly morals. But I also listen to some pretty messed up artists because they make good music that I enjoy and I have a good taste for. And they're creative and they inspire me. And so, whether you give up that music, even though it's not a sin, that might be pleasing to God. That might be worshiping him by giving that up, because you're giving up something that you enjoy to be with him, which you should enjoy more than your music, than your whatever. And so that is a way of worshiping God. And then the other way of worshiping God is just raising your hands and, Lord, I need you, stuff like that. Thank you for watching. That's all the Christian conversation starters. If you want to email me, I will link that in the description. And send me other conversation starters, because I really enjoyed doing this episode. I'm honestly, like, shocked that it went, like, I've been recording for 37 minutes. I mean, I'll go longer, man. Like, give me a pit deep suggestion where I can dig and dig and dig. And I will do it off the top of my head. Like, that's how I record these videos. I've never written a script for it in my life. I've never released an episode that I wrote a script for. I will go off the top of my head with my authentic thoughts on how I feel on a certain issue that you send me. Email away. I love you guys. Keep loving God. I hope you just got Jesus'd.